1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media
ABC
app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Attorney General Merrick Garland fielding questions from the House Judiciary Committee. Garland defended the Justice Department's record, including the special counsel's investigation into Hunter Biden, saying the DOJ works independently from the president and from Congress.
We apply the same laws to everyone. There is not one set of laws for the powerful and another for the powerless, one for the rich and another for the poor, one for Democrats and another for Republicans, or different rules depending upon one's race or ethnicity or religion.
At the UN General Assembly, President Biden met on the sidelines with Israel's prime minister. He'll later hold talks with the leader of Brazil. And the UAW strike against Detroit's big three automakers leading to more layoffs. Stellantis says 68 employees have been temporarily laid off at a Toledo plant due to the strike and signaled up to 300 more could be laid off at two facilities in Indiana. This is ABC News. After a lull in the summer, there's been a spike in migrant encounters in Texas and Arizona. ABC's Matt Rivers has more.
In Pima County, Arizona, the county saying CBP encountering an average of more than 2,000 migrants per day throughout the region. In Tucson, Arizona, one local group says they're helping shelter around 1,200 migrants per day, but say Border Patrol is also dropping other migrants well outside the city.
Homeland Security officials have launched an app that can help asylum seekers get appointments with border officials. The FDA has rejected what would have been a first-of-its-kind drug to treat allergic reactions. ARS Pharma's drug would have been the first EpiPen not to require an injection. It would be inhaled, but the FDA declined to approve the drug, citing the need for more studies. And Vanna White's extending her stay on Wheel of Fortune. She's agreed to a new two-year contract. This will be the final season for host Pat Sajak before Ryan Seacrest takes over. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Republican state lawmakers are expected to gavel in and out of Governor Evers' special session on child care today. The legislature is required to meet to take up the special session, but lawmakers don't have to debate what the governor's proposed. Republicans have routinely shut down the Democratic governor's past special sessions within seconds. Policymakers are focused on child care because centers are struggling to pay employees and families are struggling to pay tuition. A new study shows just how expensive child care is in Wisconsin. Here's Melissa Kay.
Sending two kids to daycare in Wisconsin is more expensive than the average rent or mortgage. It also costs more than sending two kids to UW-Madison. That's according to data from Forward Analytics, a division of the Wisconsin Counties Association. The cost of childcare for two young children is more than $25,000 per year, while UW-Madison tuition is $22,000. For some families, childcare costs for two children can take up as much as 70% of their household income. As for solutions, Governor Evers wants to replenish the Child Care Counts subsidy program, while Republicans want to deregulate Wisconsin's child care industry. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
A package of Republican bills would put new limits on abortion in Wisconsin and lower the cost of adoption. More from Nate Wegehout.
The bills got a hearing before a state Senate committee yesterday. One of them would clarify that treating miscarriages or ectopic pregnancies would not be considered abortions under state law. Republican Senator Romaine Quinn.
We don't live in a perfect world, and we have to face that things can go wrong during a pregnancy. This bill would affirm that in that event, Wisconsin laws protect the medical professional, the mother's life, and of course, the babies.
A second bill would ban state or local government employees from performing abortions. A third one earmarks $1 million in taxpayer money to go to pregnancy resource centers, which discourage abortions. A fourth bill would set up $10,000 grants for adoptive families. Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The most notable bill in the package might be the one to let people claim a fetus as a dependent for tax purposes. Republican Representative Pat Snyder says families take on expenses before kids are born.
You have to think of diapers and high chairs and, oh my goodness, children's gate down the road, car seats, all of that. And by recognizing that, the family needs to buy those supplies and prepare their house for a safe space as well.
Democratic State Senator Kelda Roy says in a statement that Republican positions on abortion remain unpopular. Governor Evers appears likely to veto them if they pass. The Chippewa County Sheriff appears close to losing his job. More now from James Kelly.
The Chippewa County Sheriff's job may be in jeopardy following a four-hour closed session this week. The meeting reportedly involved concerns raised by a county employee regarding Sheriff Travis Hakes and the workplace. A motion filed by the county board notes an October 10th meeting could involve authorizing charges and the statutory removal of the sheriff. Sheriff Hakes released a statement accusing the board of disregarding due process. Hakes vows to fight to keep his job. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Milwaukee's oldest movie theater is closed after more than a century in business. The owners of the Downer Theater made the announcement on Facebook. It opened in 1915 and was best known for art house films for the past several decades. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know.
Two Northeast Wisconsin schools have been given prestigious national awards. Houdini Elementary in Appleton and Evans Elementary School in Fond du Lac have both earned National Blue Ribbon status from the U.S. Department of Education. Blue Ribbon status is given to schools for overall excellence in academic performance or for closing achievement gaps. Only 353 schools nationwide are recognized as Blue Ribbon schools. Six other schools in Wisconsin also earn Blue Ribbon status. The De Pere School Board continues its debate over school flag policy. The board met Monday night and hosted spirited discussions from the school community. A previously proposed policy said the board has to approve any flag displayed on school grounds. Many parents and teachers objected, saying the policy hindered freedom of expression and felt the policy was proposed solely to ban LGBTQ flags. Monday night, the board decided that only certain flags can be displayed outside school buildings, like the U.S. or municipal flags, but decided to continue the discussion about indoor flag display. Deer hunting season is right around the corner. Here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay with something the Wisconsin DNR wants you to know.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding hunters and the public of how they can help slow the spread of chronic wasting disease. You must follow all baiting and feeding bans and refrain from baiting and feeding in areas where no bans are in effect. CWD is nearly always fatal to elk, deer, moose, and caribou. It's spread through contact with an infected animal's saliva, urine, or feces. Baiting and feeding deer encourages them to congregate unnaturally. It creates an environment where infected deer can quickly spread diseases like CWD to healthy deer.
Just a quick tip for Northeast Wisconsin drivers. The Wisconsin State Patrol says they will be in the skies over Fond du Lac County today and Door County on Sunday the 24th. The WSP says they will be looking not only for speeders, but aggressive drivers as well. They are encouraging everyone to drive safely. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. After a crisp and cool stretch, some of us may want to turn the AC back on today. As a warm front lifts into the UP now, we have a warmer, summer-like day to deal with. Highs will rise to the upper 70s by Lake Michigan and into the low 80s for the rest of the state. With a south wind at 10 miles per hour, a bit of sticky humidity is creeping in too. Widespread rain mainly wraps up today, but a few lingering showers may sprinkle down along the southern portions under mainly cloudy skies. While up in the north, more sunshine is expected under a mix of sun and clouds. Tonight, we stay mild, with lows only falling to the upper 50s and low 60s. This brings in another chance of patchy dense fog forming in the early morning hours, especially into the Northwoods. Have a wonderful Wednesday, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Brewer bats finally come alive. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers had not scored a run in 16 innings. Then last night, in the third, William Contreras got things going off of Cardinals pitcher David Rahm. Jeff Levering with the call on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Contreras in.
Out to left. Way back and gone. The Brewers are on the board. On a solo homer by William Contreras.
Brewers manager Craig Counsell.
I mean, you can't say enough about the season William's having, you know, how durable he's been, the big hits. He's having a tremendous, tremendous season.
It was the first time the Brewers had ever faced the Cardinals lefty Drew Rahm. In the fourth, Milwaukee hit four consecutive doubles off of Rahm, including one from shortstop Willie Adames.
You know, we would just try to get a feeling for it, you know, and then in the second, you know, after we saw him the first time, now we know what he had. You know, so you know that inning, it was really big for us. We gave the pitchers a little break right there, and you know the guys put a lot of good at bats, and we got some runs.
Willie Adames with a double, a single, and scored a run. Had one run batted in. Game three of the series is tonight. Adrian Hauser against the Cards' lefty Zach Thompson. First pitch at 6:45. NFL: The Packers host the Saints on Sunday. New Orleans is short at running back. Former Packer and Lions Jamal Williams is now with the Saints, but he's out this week with a hamstring injury. Alvin Kamara, still serving that three-game suspension for a fight in a Las Vegas club, caught on a security camera. Why did David Bakhtiari not play against the Falcons remains a mystery. Now, Bakhtiari was outspoken last week about turf fields in the NFL after Aaron Rodgers' injury.
It's just something that's been weighing heavy on me. You know, playing this game for as long as I have, players actually having more of a voice. You're seeing them voice their displeasure with certain surfaces. There's definitely not need for it anymore. The only thing I can wrap my mind around it is aesthetically pleasing for TV, and it's borderline, it's a carpet that's nice to put platforms on so you can host other concerts and events easy and not have to clean up, and it fits your bottom dollar better. But other than that, when we talk about the game and player safety, and if we keep advocating player safety and the importance of it, it's doing us a disservice.
Sunday night, there was a tweet from his brother directed to the NFL. When asked a second time why Bakhtiari did not play Sunday at left tackle at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, Matt LaFleur only had this to say.
Just to clarify, I'm done talking about it.
College football, the Wisconsin Badgers face Purdue Friday in Indiana. The kickoff at 6 o'clock. Badger safety Hunter Wohler had two interceptions against Georgia Southern and was named the Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week. We asked him what it's like getting ready for a Friday night game.
It's been fast. I'll tell you what, it's a quick turnaround from last week. Lot less rest time. But, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun playing on a Friday. It'll be fun to get down there and play at night in front of a big crowd. You know, I enjoy playing it at Purdue. You know, I like their atmosphere. I like their stadium. I like the grass.
That's Packers safety Hunter Wohler. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Test your home for radon. Radon causes lung cancer, and half the homes in Green Bay test high. Request a free tester at newradon.com. newradon.com. Get a free test kit now.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Most of us are not just red or blue. We're kind of purple. We want to do what's right while protecting our individual freedoms.
Join the Rational Revolution with hosts Chris Elfheim and Emily Cephos Thursday evenings from 7 to 8 on WGBW, WISS, and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon with highs around 76. East winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Tonight, lows dip down to about 59. Daytime highs approaching 79. Tomorrow, cloudy skies expected. Chance for scattered rain showers
Friday
with highs in the upper 70s. Chance for scattered thunderstorms
and highs in the low 70s
on Saturday.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller.
Right now, it's 75.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Welcome one, welcome all. Thanks for joining us today. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. Joined by Mr. Luke Mathers and Mr. Aaron Zommers, I am William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with our Wisconsin Revolution. Gentlemen, it is the Wednesdayest Wednesday of the week. How are we doing this afternoon?
Doing great, Will. Excited for it to be Wednesday. Excited to be with you on the airwaves. And just a couple more additions to Town Call here before I am gone for a number of scheduled absences. So thrilled to be with you on the airwaves in the meantime.
Yeah, feeling good on a Wednesday.
And today it's true. I'm feeling good on a Wednesday.
You can finally say that and not be lying to the audience, not be lying to the people of Wisconsin about how you're feeling.
It's been true before. It's just, you know, sometimes it's a hectic day, but today has been pretty relaxed, just getting some stuff done.
Well, it also wasn't a real Wednesday.
That's
now,
true.
Wednesday... What? Wednesday is a bit of a state of mind, but
okay.
No, today is. Okay. Yesterday was not.
Yes. Gotcha.
And we made the joke yesterday, yeah. But, you know, I'm a firm believer that Wednesday is just a state of mind. We're going to be without Mr. Luke Mathers for a couple weeks as he enjoys his honeymoon. Congratulations, Luke. But if you have any ideas for a good episode of Town Call, if you want to participate, if you'd like to hear certain topics or potentially certain guests, or, I don't know, have some segments in mind that you think might be a fun way to shake things up while Mr. Luke Mathers is gone, you know it's always a party when Aaron and I are here without Papa Luke. So give us a call or shoot us a text. Share those ideas with us, 844-967-2789. Luke, on the agenda today, I feel like we got to have the conversation around the Milwaukee Brewers and their recently announced funding package from the GOP legislature. $700 million. Luke.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. That is a lot of money. It's like this number keeps growing too, Will. The number keeps going because initially it was like, oh, there's going to be like $110, $130 million needed to be able to do some renovations around American Family Field, you know, keep the Brewers happy in the agreement that they have. Very, very nice agreement they have to lease American Family Field because there is a local... kind of this quasi entity that owns American Family Field, the Brewers don't own. Like, they're not the owners of the stadium there on Milwaukee's near west side. Like, just West Milwaukee is where the stadium's located. And so it was going to be about just over $100 million north of that to keep the Brewers satisfied. And then the Evers administration came out with a proposal to around ballpark $300, $350 million, I believe, was the rough estimates that the Evers budget proposal included. And Republicans were like, oh, that is irresponsible. That is more than double what the Brewers were even asking for. Why, we can't do something like that. And now the Republican proposal, what is the number, Will?
So
$700 million.
Some outlets are calling it approximately 700. Some with a more exact number. For example, Wisconsin Examiner noted the Republican plan to spend $600 million, broken up by contributions of about $400 million from the state, $200 million from the city and county of Milwaukee, and $100 million from the Brewers. The AP notes the bill is currently set at $614 million. So we'll say between $600 and $700 million, approximately.
Okay, but that's a lot more money than what was proposed even in the Evers budget proposal or what the Brewers were suggesting
math major,
they needed.
Luke, but that is significantly more money than
$300
million.
How is this getting so high?
Million.
Like, what are we talking about here, folks? This number is getting exorbitantly higher than when the discussions first floated. It was kind of out of nowhere, too, earlier this year when it was just all of a sudden the Brewers, right before the season kicked off, floating the idea, we're gonna need some public investment if we want to stay around. Which you hear sports teams, professional sports teams all around the country do this. It is a shame if we were to leave. You're not gonna upset the fans, right? You're not gonna force us to leave to go somewhere else to a new facility. You're gonna give us what we want.
Yeah,
and it's gonna come through public dollars.
I hate the way that modern sports handles this. We've got FIFA using slave labor. We've got the NFL and the MLB and all that just being like, you know, it'd be a shame if we went somewhere else. Let's extort hundreds of millions of dollars from your town to keep a sports team there because you know you need the money coming in.
Yeah, it seems a little bit more like public extortion than anything else. When you hear these owners who...
Socialism for the rich, Luke.
Multi-millionaire owners, billionaire owners for these professional sports teams that are making money. These are some of the most exclusive clubs in the world. Former President Donald
Trump... 32 owners of Major League Baseball, 32 owners in the NFL.
There's only 30 professional baseball teams, Will.
That's what I said.
Oh, I heard you say 32
baseball, 32 owners. NFL owners. I gotcha. Noted both. And technically, you're right, it's only 31 NFL owners because the Green Bay Packers are, in fact, publicly owned.
Correct. So, yeah, there is a select group here. Former President Donald Trump wanted to be an NFL owner. But back in the 80s, 90s, early 2000s, he owned an XFL team, or one of those kind of like spinoffs of the NFL. But it's a very exclusive club. Rich people try to get into it. It is something that it makes you a lot of money. If you are a owner of a professional sports team, you see these stories where all of a sudden we've got actors like Ryan Reynolds and why can't I think of the gentleman's name from Always Sunny?
Rob.
Yep. Yep. What's Rob's
Rob
last Mac- name?
McElhenney.
It's
I never pronounced
like that.
McElhenney, but yeah.
I think it's McElhenney.
McElhenney. Yeah. And the two of them, they go and buy for a small amount, to them, $2.5 million, I think, the Wrexham FC investment that they initially made for a soccer team in England. All of a sudden, that professional sports team's getting a lot of attention. They're starting to win some games. They're building a fan base. And boom, the return on investment is really, really good.
It's big.
Sports is a big moneymaker. And then you have these owners that are like, there's nothing else we can do. If the public doesn't give us the money we're looking for, we're going to have to go somewhere else because there's a demand as well. There's plenty of cities out there that don't have professional sports teams. In that same vein as it being an exclusive club of owners, there are many cities looking at St. Louis right now. Doesn't have an NFL team anymore. Did for a little while when the Rams came to St. Louis, but then the Rams left. You see these teams go, the Oakland Athletics leaving Oakland for Las Vegas, the
and
San
Oakland
Diego
just
Chargers,
lost the Raiders as well.
Yeah, already to Vegas, and so it's the Seattle Supersonics going to Oklahoma City, the Lakers leaving Minnesota and going to L.A. This is something that, yes, franchises do.
Brooklyn Dodgers. We can name a ton of them, even the big boys.
There's a lot. The Milwaukee Braves left for Atlanta. This has happened before in our past. We got the Seattle Pilots. The franchise that is now the Brewers came from Seattle. And so, yeah, you can see when franchises leave that it is possible. And so, therefore, it's a real enough threat that these owners can say, if we don't get the money we want from the public, we're going to go find some other municipality, some other city, some other state to give us what we're looking for. And they claim that they can't possibly do the public financing themselves. But now we're hearing a $700 million proposal to keep the Milwaukee Brewers in Milwaukee. And I love the Brewers. I love all of my Wisconsin sports teams. I want to see the Brewers stick around. But at the same time, the money that all of a sudden this inflated amount, already 6-7-fold over from the number we were originally hearing for what it was going to take to keep the Brewers in town. And now you're hearing all of these people, well, we can't possibly make any changes, like, you know, doing more development around the stadium. We need all those parking spaces. We can't do anything.
Tailgating is the draw for Milwaukee. Like,
it is fascinating that there are some people that are coming out and saying, like, we have Republican lawmakers that want to shrink down the governing body of how American Family Field and the Brewers contract gets debated with the team. They want to provide fewer stakeholders to a panel that all five counties in the area that plenty of Milwaukee Brewers fans go to these games from these five counties. Well, only one of those five counties in the Republican proposal that is floating around the Wisconsin legislature, only one of those counties is going to be on the hook for tax dollars committed to this funding plan that Republican lawmakers are proposing. Will, you familiar with which of the one counties is responsible and which of the four aren't?
I'm going to guess Milwaukee County is on the hook, and I'm going to guess that they don't have representation on this committee.
That was the next thing. Not only are they putting the tax burden on Milwaukee city and county officials in Milwaukee, in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County, but the four other counties in the five county agreement that originally funded Miller Park back in the early 2000s when Miller Park became a thing, we left County Stadium. Those other four counties don't have part of the tax burden. Regular Wisconsin taxpayers don't have the tax burden. But the city of Milwaukee, the county of Milwaukee do, and the voice that they have, currently there's the representatives from each of those five counties on this entity that oversees the lease for American Family Field. Well, we're going to do away with that too, and we're going to say, well, the governor gets to appoint some, and then the leader of the state assembly gets to appoint some, and the leader of the state senate get to appoint some, but the city and Milwaukee not actually represented on that new governing body that is proposed by Republican lawmakers. And they're really floating this line that we heard a lot in 2014 and 2015 when the Milwaukee Bucks got public financing for their stadium because they were threatening to leave. There was a change in owner. Herb Cole did more to keep the Milwaukee Bucks in than anybody else, saying new ownership, You can't go anywhere with it. You can't take this franchise away from Milwaukee Bucks fans. They're going to stay in Milwaukee if you want to be the new owners. And I thought that was tremendous. But still, even in those negotiations around what was happening with the Pfizer Forum and creating a new home for the Bucks, there was saying if we don't do this, they might leave. It's cheaper to keep them. We got to do the public financing. And so this is something that we are going to continue to see with major sports teams. It's going to be something that's talked about. We want to hear your thoughts. What do you think about the funding proposal to keep the Milwaukee Brewers in Wisconsin through 2050? If you've got thoughts, we want to hear them. You can call or text here on Town Call, 844-967-2789. Our standard appointment for some recombobulation. Unfortunately, going to have to be delayed this week. Mr. Dan Schaefer on the road, traveling between Milwaukee and Madison, experiencing some car troubles. So we'll get to recombobulate a little bit later in the week, hopefully. But instead, we're talking Milwaukee Brewers and the baseball and public financing that goes into it. We want to hear your thoughts. 844-967-2789.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Mike DeBusky. With just over a week before government funding runs out, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy scrambling to get members of his own party to pass a stopgap measure to avoid a shutdown.
Over in the Senate, Republican leader Mitch McConnell appears to be giving McCarthy breathing room for negotiations, saying he supports what the speaker is trying to accomplish. But Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says the current bill is a non-starter, though he is open to any other bill that's bipartisan in nature. Despite the uncertainty, a vote vote in the House is expected this week, McCarthy vowing to keep members in town through the weekend if needed. M. Nguyen, ABC News, Washington.
Attorney General Merrick Garland pushing back on allegations by House Republicans the Justice Department has a two-tiered system. Approval for a new allergic reaction treatment has been put on hold. ARS Pharma's Neffy nasal spray works like an EpiPen but does not require a shot. This is ABC News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what Green Bay needs to know. People in Green Bay are still recovering from lost jobs. The Green Bay area has about 6,000 less jobs than it did pre-pandemic. The Wisconsin Policy Forum says between 2019 and 2022, the workers most affected were in sales, food preparation, and office workers. However, many employees in fields that had the most job loss saw sizable wage increases due to worker shortages. The study says Madison and Milwaukee also lost jobs during that time span. Green Bay police are reminding drivers to be more alert, especially in areas with lots of pedestrians. This comes after a 59-year-old man was hit by a van near St. Vincent Hospital Tuesday morning. Green Bay police say the man is expected to be okay and was treated for injuries. The 81-year-old driver of the van was uninjured and ticketed for failing to yield to a pedestrian. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack. I don't care if I never get back. Let me root, root, root for the
home. Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. Aaron, where was that from?
It's
very generic version of it. That was not the version that I was thinking that you'd use, but
no, it's a very generic version from the entertainment company Super Simple Kids Songs.
Oh, it's like the kids bop of the
pretty much
of the sports themed. I don't even know what you would call it. Sports themed musicals, I guess. I was thinking that it sounded like a play production or something. Like you'd come out and say like, yeah, that was Major League Baseball on Broadway or something. But I'm glad you clarified.
Nothing that classy.
Not this time, at least. So we are talking Milwaukee Brewers and the new proposal for stadium funding at AmFam Field, which still Still doesn't sound right to me, Luke. It's been a couple of years, and I don't think I'm ever going to get over that. But anyways, I'm going to defer to a piece I saw over at the AP, Republican proposal spending $614 million in public funds on Milwaukee Brewers stadium upgrades. I wanted to dive into some of the details behind the proposal. As I mentioned, Republican legislators announced on Monday a bill that would devote more than $614 million in public funding to repair and renovate the Milwaukee Brewers Stadium, which is far more than taxpayers spent to build it more than two decades ago. Under the proposal, the state would give the team $60.8 million in the next fiscal year and up to $20 million each year after that. Through 2045-46, the city of Milwaukee would contribute a total of $202 million, while Milwaukee County would kick in $135 million by 2050. The team itself would contribute about $100 million, which would extend its lease at American Family Field through 2050, keeping Major League Baseball in its smallest market for another 27 years.
Yeah, and so, I mean, it's just... that's a lot of state and county and city money. Like, that is so much money. And I don't understand, I guess, what the... are we going to find out? And this is something I feel like if for any public investment. I'm not saying we need the receipts for where all the money went, but there should be a pretty good understanding of what this upkeep is doing. Because, again, I don't quite get where the inflation of the price tag came from.
I got a great tweet for you then,
all
Mr.
right,
Mathers.
Let's hear it.
From friend of the show, State Senator Chris Larson. When the 0.1% sales tax expired, which was much later than originally promised, lawmakers were told the funds would last through the end of the lease in 2030. Earlier this year, the Milwaukee Brewers said they had almost $70 million left. On Monday, they said the money is almost gone, with only about $10 or $15 million remaining. Senator Larson notes that if this were any other entity looking for taxpayer dollars, we'd be asking them to open up the books before throwing any more cash at them, much less a half billion dollars. Where'd the money go? Is it time for an audit? Question mark?
That is an excellent question. Finding out where the money went. Also, like... I love Milwaukee. Like, I'm a Milwaukee guy. Like, I now live and reside in Madison and Sun Prairie, Dane County. And I love my current place. But in my core, I'm a Milwaukee guy.
Born and raised, right?
Yeah. And so, I love Milwaukee. And the fact that there are these really, really cushy deals for some of these partnerships that the city has with, like, land and event space, it's very baffling to me how sometimes the city and the county, you hear all these headlines that, oh, they're facing all of these fiscal problems. They're facing all of these fiscal problems because they get taken advantage of in so many different ways. Like, the lease the Brewers are paying right now, $1 million a year. That's not market value for a professional sports franchise. So you're telling me that you lost the roughly $70 million, now down closer to $10 million for what was available in the 5-county sales tax increase that was there. It is just gone, or it was spent pretty rapidly. And what were the 2 points that Senator Larson in that statement shared? It was earlier this year and to now?
Yeah, well, so the point he was making was the 0.1% sales tax, which expired. Lawmakers were originally told the funds would last through the end of the lease in 2030. Obviously,
so it's supposed to last another 7 years. Yeah, it's supposed to last another 7 years and almost gone already after initially noted there was $70 million there.
Brewers said this year. Earlier this year, they noted they still had $70 million left.
Yeah, and so I don't know. Fine. If you want to have a conversation about keeping the team, maybe you got to pay a little bit more market rate to the entity, the city, county, quasi government entity that owns the stadium. $1 million a year is a very, 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 very discounted rate, I would imagine.
The problem
for a professional sports team. You're telling me what? $1 million a year to lease out American Family Field?
Yeah. The Brewers got a great deal on Wren. Where's the rest of us?
Well, again, the city county gets taken advantage of this. Having the professional sports franchise only pay $1 million a year to be able to utilize the ballpark that they bring in hundreds of millions of dollars in revenue. The same goes for the Summerfest grounds. Summerfest gets a huge, huge, huge discount on being able to use Milwaukee lakefront property for one of the greatest music festivals in the world. Summerfest makes millions of dollars, and the city county does not get a return on that like they should. It is the city and the county get taken advantage of financially. They have these very, very sweet cushion deals for these amazing things. I love the Milwaukee Brewers. I love Summerfest. But you need to be able to have the not just go to these taxpayers and to these municipal governments hat in hand and say, oh, well, we're so sorry. We need more money from you.
Tap the sign, Luke. Tap the sign. Socialism for the rich, rugged individualism for the poor. There was a great quote from the Wisconsin Examiner piece discussing the AmFam proposal, noting that Robin Voss said the deal would fulfill the state's contractual obligations to do upkeep on the stadium. As you mentioned earlier in the show, AmFam Field is owned by the Southeast Wisconsin Professional Baseball Park District, which is the state agency that leases the stadium to the Brewers. But Voss said that since Wisconsin owns the stadium, quote, if the Brewers leave, we will continue to own these facilities. The taxpayers are on the hook whether we like it or not, unquote. That, and reiterated the you might recognize this line from Scott Walker that he used in 2015 when renegotiating the deal for the Milwaukee Bucks. It's a better deal for Wisconsin because it is cheaper for them to stay than it is to leave. Again, they are strong-arming these communities, threatening them with not, you know, giving more of their public funds to these private entities, and basically saying, you know, wink, wink, boy, it would suck if they left. Guess we're going to have to pay even more of your money to keep them here. It's gross.
And I don't see this as a solvable problem. I try not to be defeatist and fatalist about things like this, but if Milwaukee doesn't pay for it, someone else will. Even like they'll go to another city. They just will leave. As Luke has said, as we've seen with other teams, they just go somewhere else and we'll lose all that cultural value. We'll lose all that monetary value. Even if America were to make more rules about its sports, other countries will just swoop in and do the same crap as we see with golf, with the PGA and LIV. And it's just obscene. It's disgusting. It makes my blood boil.
Yeah, sports washing is a huge thing. And I just don't understand how it's acceptable to have elected officials that are then just going to, again, and this is a fascinating part about the proposal to shift away from this 5-county governance board that oversees the current district, to shift off the burden from those 4 other counties, leaving it solely on Milwaukee County and the city of Milwaukee to provide the tax dollars in under this proposal.
$202 million from Milwaukee, $7.5 million annually from the city and county of Milwaukee over the length of the lease period,
and say that it's their responsibility to have that, with that quote from Robin Voss saying, well, it's whether you like it or not, taxpayers are on the hook, and then consolidating which taxpayers are on the hook. That's intentional. That's not accidental. That's the proposal. That is what the Republican-led legislature wants to be the outcome. That
is another quote from
that is their solution.
You're going to like this one. Voss said at the press conference announcing the proposal, of course, everybody would like somebody else to pay for everything, but that is not the reality of the economy that we live in. The irony is palpable, Luke.
I don't even know if I want to touch that quote. We want to hear your thoughts here, though, on Town Call. 844-967-2789. You can call or text. You can also download the Civic Media app. Take us with you on the go wherever you are traveling about the state of Wisconsin. You can interact with the show right from the app. It's really easy to do no matter what station you're listening to. You can call or text right from there, or do it the old-fashioned way. 844-967-2789. You can dial us up or send that text. Let's head over to the phone lines. We've got Ken in Fond du Lac calling in. Ken, what's on your mind on this subject of keeping the Milwaukee Brewers here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a horse apiece, I guess. Residents of Brown County had to pay for Lambeau Field when we were trying to get money from the state to help pay for it. Now it's just one county sales tax to pay for that. But I think the plan, all in all, I think it's 400. What was it, $400 million that's going to be coming from players' salary income? So that time,
$400 million is from the state.
Yeah, it's much less than
$200 million from the city and county, and $100 million from the Brewers.
And not all of that state, though, is all of that state player income? That's how they're going to generate it?
Yep, exactly, over 40 years. So basically, it's not a taxpayer paying for any of it. It's going to come from players' projected salaries.
Except for city and county residents of Milwaukee, then. Well, I was going to say, you can't say any taxpayer is not paying for it, because specifically then the tax burden is on specific city and county residents.
Yeah, but that's who reaps the benefits of having the Brewers down there. It's no different than having Lambeau Field in Green Bay. Know what I mean?
I guess I would argue that the benefits are those who enjoy the Brewers, the people in the, you know, people outside of Milwaukee that are coming to the game, tailgating in the parking lot, those individuals are also enjoying having the Brewers in town.
Yeah. That was the same factor that I was brought up 20 years with the Green Bay Lambeau Field.
Well, Ken, I don't know the entire funding that went into the Brown County agreement to fund Lambeau renovations. But in the past, there had been five counties here in the Milwaukee area that were responsible for the tax burden. Do you believe it's intentional and fair that the four other counties are left off the hook and the only one county is left with that local taxpayer responsibility in the residents of Milwaukee County?
No, I don't. It should be also five counties. I don't know, it's kind of strange in how it's set up that the state actually owns it, and that's where the problem lies. And you're going to charge more than $1 million at least in a year, then the Brewers are going to threaten to leave and so forth, and it's all, in which they're probably not going to, but they're only going to set fees so much to lease it, or else it's the professional sports, and that's the whole problem.
And do you believe that's right for a sports team that makes its money off of its fandom, though? They make money because people tune in to support the sport. Like, fans and their viewership of the sport is what leads to advertising revenue, which in turn gets all of the money generated off these major sports. Not all of the money, but a large chunk of the money. Do you believe it's fair for these teams to then hold their fan bases hostage, essentially, Ken, and say, well, we're going to leave and go find a different fan base if you don't give us what we're asking for?
Well, it's because they can, because people keep going to the game and watching them. I mean, I hate to say it that way. Yeah, basically, we are holding them hostage because people keep buying the tickets. People keep going, spending $15-16 for a beer.
Well, yeah, they're fans, but what I'm saying is are you a responsible owner if that's how you're treating your fans? Because to me, that doesn't seem like a responsible owner. We appreciate the phone call, Ken. You can be like Ken, 844-967-2789. We're going to continue the phone calls here on Town Call when we return.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
Cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshes
marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Here's your updated forecast. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon, with daytime highs approaching 76. Winds out of the east, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Tonight, lows around 59. Highs level off around 79. Tomorrow, overcast. Chance for scattered rain showers Friday, with highs in the upper 70s. Chance for scattered thunderstorms and highs in the low 70s on Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 76.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW.
Welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789.
Yeah, and we're talking money on this Wednesday edition of Town Call, specifically the amount of taxpayer money that would need to go behind a Republican proposal to keep the Milwaukee Brewers in Milwaukee through 2050. If you've got thoughts or comments on them, we want to hear them here on Town Call. Give us a call. Send us a text, 844-967-2789. Let's head back over to the phone lines. We've got Greg in Madison calling in. Greg, what are your thoughts on the Brewers and this Republican proposal to keep them here in Wisconsin?
Well, you know, I don't know if you guys remember last time this happened and how it went down. But as I can recall, this was when the Tommy Thompson and the Brewers were needing money and they were threatening to leave and all that if they didn't get it. And they went to a vote. You know, I believe they were going to raise state taxes to pay for it. And a bit, not a lot, but a small amount for everybody. But what happened was it went to a vote and it was voted down by one vote. And it came down to one person. He is kind of going back and forth. Didn't know what he's going to do. And he voted no. I want to raise taxes. And I was found out about that about the afternoon. By the next morning, he had changed his mind. They roughed him up a bit as far as, you know, you're going to be out of office and you ain't going to get a job. So he changed his mind and it went through. And I think what happened was it was just a small amount from everybody, and no one minded because they all, you know, Packers, Brewers, Badgers, everybody, you know, wants to keep their sports teams. You know, they don't want to lose their sports teams. So,
and many hands make light work.
I believe it was George Pitek, and I'm pretty sure that he still didn't get reelected.
After he changed his vote?
After he changed his vote, people were upset. So either way, he was kind of screwed.
Yeah, right. I don't recall what all went down around that. But yeah, it's something that we've got somebody, and Greg, we appreciate the phone call. You can be like Greg, 844-967-2789. You can share your thoughts with us here on Town Call. We got somebody listening on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM in the Shaw, texting in saying, then when it ends up in 2050, they will say around 2047 that the stadium is too old and they'll threaten to move unless they get a new one. And so it seems like this is just, as Aaron's alluded to and we've discussed, this isn't going to be a problem that goes away. And I don't think appeasing time and time again these franchises, you find out the price tag, again, it's just getting higher and higher. it's soaring in costs of what the taxpayers are going to have to pay through state or through local taxes. And if these teams continue to get away with it, it's something that's just going to continue to be a tactic because it works.
Give them an inch, they're going to take a mile, yeah.
Yeah, and so it'll be interesting to keep an eye on this. It is important to note, though, a new stadium. Some of these stadiums cost about $700 million. $600, $700 million is about the price tag for some just new stadiums. So, again, that gets back to how is this money getting so high? How does it go from $110 million to $300 plus million to $600 to $700 million? I don't quite get it, Will, but you got a breakdown about some of the
my
stuff.
Time to shine here, Luke. There you was a very
terminally
interesting
online
rendering.
Yeah, you terminally online. It's your time.
It's a cry for help, really. But there was an interesting rendering of a potential lakefront stadium in Milwaukee that went viral over the weekend. Beautiful, very pristine location that would have ran about $600-700 million as well. However, there would have been no parking space. So now you got to also put or offer public transportation, which I'm all for. Sign me up. The Milwaukee Brewers evidently aren't, as they are refusing additional development in the area because they pride themselves on tailgating and the open parking structure concept. I do want to note that AmFam Field has more than 12,000 parking spots, despite only holding about 42,000 people, compared to Lambeau Field, which is able to hold about 86,000 and only has 3,000 parking spots. So, a bit of a
tailgating at the Packer. The tailgating at the Packer game, you know, it suffers greatly because they don't have enough parking spots. No, Packer tailgates right? are terrific already. What are you talking about?
Like legendary Packers tailgates.
There's even less parking than in around Lambeau here in Madison for a Badgers tailgate at Camp Randall. And guess what? There's still a lot of fun. You don't need 12,000 parking spaces for good tailgate culture. We've got tailgate culture all around the state at lots that are smaller. You don't.
And think about the revenue the beer district could generate if we went in that down that route, Luke.
If only.
But anyways, talking other stadiums, just to give a little bit of context here, Ben Handelman of the anchor of WITX Fox Milwaukee had a tweet noting that the Rays baseball stadium announcement in comparison to the GOP Brewers plan, the new
Tampa
stadium
Bay
for
Rays,
the Rays.
Right. The Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay Rays.
So this would be down in Florida. For those
in
not
Saint
familiar
Pete.
With where the Rays play.
So a brand new stadium, 50% private, 50% public funded. The proposal for the Milwaukee upgrade, which is an upgrade to the current stadium, would be 14% private, 86% public funded. The Rays would have new developments all around the stadium, including hotels, housing, entertainment, you name it. Milwaukee would offer no new development. The cost to taxpayers in Tampa, $600 million. Cost of taxpayers in Milwaukee, $600 million. Think about what they are getting out of that proposal compared to what we are getting out of that proposal.
And these proposals are important because, again, what you enact through these deals is what are your priorities as lawmakers and representatives of Wisconsinites. And so to bend over backwards to not make sure that our taxpayers and our tax dollars are to put to the best use possible to be able to address this and not have the city or the county be taken for ransom is and the fan base to be taken for ransom is extremely important. And I just don't understand how this is the best proposal that we can come up with. That when rather than having the current divided government that we have get to a point of compromise, we have the Evers administration putting out a budget that then gets laughed out by and just cut out of the budget negotiating room floor. Like, it's just immediately all of those proposals gone. Republican lawmakers say, no, that's too expensive. And then they turn around with a proposal that's even more expensive. Like, we need to have decision makers that are making compromise and come up with solutions for our communities rather than this back and forth, Will. But unfortunately, this is just more of what we're seeing here in Wisconsin. Folks, you've been listening to Town Call. We'll be back tomorrow
exactly
at 12:15. We're going to be joined for office hours with Professor John Shelton. We apologize to those phone lines. See them blowing up. But you'll have to tune in tomorrow at 12:15. Talk to you all then.
Take it easy, party people.
cranberry juice, cranberry wine, cranberry brats, cranberry cream puffs. And excuse me, but my cranberry bread is ready. It's cranberry season in Wisconsin, and we're the cranberry capital of not just the U.S., but our farmers also produce more than half of the world's cranberry supply. So can you guess which state Wisconsin beat out to earn the number one spot? New Jersey? Washington State? Massachusetts? The answer coming up. Fall is harvest time, and you can see the machines rolling through the marshlands, which are flooded to help the cranberries float to the top. But it hasn't always been this easy. Back in the mid-1800s, the berries had to be picked by hand. It took another 100 years for the right equipment to be built to help with this harvest. Okay, so Wisconsin owns the cranberry capital title, but which state lost it to us? Massachusetts, which has been number two ever since. By the way, the cranberry is the official state fruit, making it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming ABC on the News. Civic Media app.